from the FM 107 studios in St. Paul.
In my mom's room down the hall.
It's a Bounce Breakfast with Ian and Marjorie.
What a day this has been. What a rare mood I'm in. Why, it's almost like being in love.
News and traffic with Paul Black.
There's a smile on my face for the whole human race. Why, it's almost like being in love.
Produced by Darcy Dunstan.
All the music of life seems to be like a bell that is ringing for me. And from the way that I feel when that bell starts to peal, I would swear I was falling.
I'm itching.
Swear I was falling.
I'm scratching.
It's almost like being in love.
And now the hosts of your show, our dad
and our mom on FM 107.
Oh, if only we were that talented, Lex. Good morning, everyone. Nice. And welcome to a very special edition of our show, The Morning Show, on this Wednesday, March 13th, 2024. I'm Jace, along with Lex and Holly, and we are thrilled to say, oh, God, I want to tear up already. We are thrilled to say
Try seeing her in person, Jason, right now. Okay?
I know, Lex. Why the hell do you think I didn't come in?
We can do this. We can do this. We can do this.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the show that she and Ian built, our good friend Marjorie Punnett. Good morning, sweetheart.
Good morning. And good morning to everybody out there this morning. It's early. It's very early.
Marjorie, you used to do this.
I don't know how. My alarm went off at 5:15 and I was like, this is insane. I can't do this.
You did this for a long time.
I think I blacked out. I don't remember.
What?
I don't remember.
Well, I was watching your face. Oh. What was it? God, you know, Lex and we were just talking about how much we appreciate sound bites and audio and making kind of putting together a show and all the little elements. It's like a little orchestra so we can appreciate a good open is what I'm trying to say. I was watching your face. That is a fantastic open. What was it like for you hearing that again?
Amazing, because those are my little boys. That's Itchy and Scratchy. We now do use their real names because they're grown men.
They're men.
They're 32 and 30. And I know. I have long since gotten permission on. I do a podcast with Elizabeth Reese called Best of the Nest, and we use their names on the podcast. And the first time I did it, Elizabeth was like, "Oh." But their names are Campbell and Gar. And I can never remember. Itchy was Scratchy was Gar. Itchy was Campbell. And so, but they're men, and one lives in New York and one lives in Chicago. And it's just, it's fun to hear their sweet, sweet little voices because they don't sound like that anymore.
Yeah. I think I would call them because when Lex and I started out, I was really confused by that. And I think I would come on the show, Marjorie. I would call him Crunchy. Right, Lex? I called him Crunchy or something.
I do remember that.
Squishy and Crunchy or something. And I.
Well, just to go way back in history. So Ian used to call them Uday and Kuse, which were Saddam Hussein's children. And so when I started on the show with him, I'm like, no, we're not going to do that. And so Itchy and Scratchy.
2003.
Yeah, exactly. So they came up with Itchy and Scratchy from The Simpsons. So I was much happier with that. But we wanted them to have their little private lives as they were growing up here because they grew up here in Minnesota. So
yeah. Did Ian have his hand in that open?
Oh, Ian, that's Ian's open.
That's right. Yeah.
The one thing that Ian was so good at, and I could appear, he has been a professor at Kansas State University until he passed. And one of the things that he is just amazing is audio. I mean, he just his audio work was always incredible, and he was 100% responsible for all of the opens, along with Rocco, who was the production director, and Amy Daniels before that. Obviously,
don't give her any credit.
Okay,
Marjorie, take her name right out of it.
Amy Daniels did nothing. Thank you. She did absolutely nothing for us for 10 years.
Yeah, we're not going to get it.
But Rocco, who's the production director, of course, did everything. But Rocco and Ian were a great team. So
still doing everything. We have some clips to play today. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
But you're so right about Ian. He would also be very meticulous of from this point to this point.
Oh,
and then you're going to, you know, edit it right next to this clip that's from this point to this point, and then pop the sound up, because we used to be responsible for all of our promos too.
Oh, that's right.
So then we'd make the donuts, and then exactly which clip to put in. And you're right, well, he was very precise.
Everybody needs to remember this, that I was basically responsible for nothing because I was broadcasting from home.
Let's
be clear about that. 10 o'clock, I was done. Ian was doing the promo clips. Ian was doing everything.
Like Alexis just said, Ian, you were basically a woman of the future. You were living a pandemic life before the pandemic.
Yes, when you could still actually go outside.
Yeah.
No. I had a very interesting deal. So when Ian used to call me to do bits, and then a former general manager, I was at home. I was actually flipping houses. That's what I did when I moved here. I had been working in news, and I was tired, and I needed a break. And then Ian would call me to do bits, and the general manager at the time was like, you know, you guys sound good together. We should maybe try that on the air. And so that's when I started on the show. And when we went to the boys, as we often did, and they were in fourth grade and second grade, and we said, hey, this opportunity's come up. Mom and Dad would be on the radio. And the boys were like, well, who would take us to school? Like, that doesn't sound right. Who would take us to school? That's how the at home started, is so that I could still take the boys to school. So I would leave at I would broadcast from home. Mm-hmm. The boys were sleeping. They would get up and make their breakfast. At 7:45, I would actually leave the show and drive the kids to school. And it was all very modern in the sense that it was talk radio for women. So I was doing what women, and many fathers as well, were doing at 7:45 in the morning. They were taking their kids to school. So I loved it. I thought it was just perfect for the audience at the time.
Yeah, who were living that life too.
Yeah.
Were you apprehensive at all, Marjorie? And I think I asked, I remember asking you this. We had a dinner at your house many, many years ago. And I think I asked you this. Did you have any apprehension at all of working with your husband?
No, but
on the day to day?
No, but I should have.
Going in blindly can be really helpful, though, some ways.
But I mean, I just have such gratitude for it.
Yeah.
But one of the smartest things Ian did when we started working together, he's like, we're going to go into therapy. So we went into therapy right away to smooth out our communication, which was so, so smart. So we went and talked to them. I mean, we'd already been married for, I don't know how many years. I mean, we were married 38 years before he passed. And it was really smart. He's like, we just don't want anything squishing out sideways on the air. Now, mind you, it still did. And we can talk to Paul Black about that. But our old producer.
Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Yes.
But it was really smart. And so at the time, I didn't have any. It was harder than I thought, just because we're two really creative people, but Ian made it as easy as it could possibly be.
Oh, because Lex, can you imagine doing a show with Angel every day?
No, no, I really can't.
Lex, go ahead and ask me that question.
Jace?
No.
I was just getting there. I was just picturing it and then picturing you. No. But that is important, though. I think we could make it work if there was some extra support. And then that was,
I mean, we didn't stay.
So smart of you.
We didn't stay in the therapy for 10 years.
No.
But we were just sort of ironing out.
The funny,
tricky days are, and I think every marriage is, you fight sometimes at night. Mm-hmm. And the trickiest thing would be going on the air the next morning.
5:30 comes quick, doesn't it? Oh, my God.
I didn't even think about that because, evening fights happen.
Evening fights happen. And that would always be strange because you just have to remember, at that point, you're just remembering what is our job. Yeah. Our job is to make people smile in the morning and to get off, you know, have a good start to the day. And we were not, you know, we weren't going to fight on the air ever.
And you weren't really feeling like that, but you had to do it.
And
right?
It didn't happen often, but that's the reality of working with your husband. I mean, that's the absolute reality of it.
You said, I knew there was going to be some point in this 2 hours that I was going to bring this up. It's something that I know Alexis holds in her heart, and it's something that I hold And that is the advice that you gave the two of us. I think that day, the last day of your show, and you said, and we quote her a lot, don't we, Lex? And
sure it do. Was
in various ways. You said to us that one of the greatest gift of this slot, this time slot, the morning drive, is that you have the ability to start people's day off with a smile or a laugh. Is that something that you miss doing the show?
Yes. I mean, I hadn't thought about missing it, but I think what I always think about is I look back and I just think, what a privilege. And mm-hmm. that attitude came from Ian, 100%. I mean, he had been in radio a long time before I started in radio, but I had been in enough media. I'd been working in television before that. And I think media is a privilege, and how we use it is a privilege, and how we make people feel is a privilege. Like, I could never do sort of hate TV or hate radio mm-hmm. or radio that's radio TV that's
confrontational.
About not hate, that's a better word, about confrontational radio mm-hmm. or television. I mean, even when I was producing TV, I did food TV in Phoenix. I was interviewing chefs, and it was happy. I mean, it was just good stories. And that's where I live. I can't live in the other place. And to be able to sort of push that out through the airwaves is such a cool thing. And so mm-hmm. I feel really blessed that all of my media career has been about sort of that sort of positivity, which
lifting
I feel really
up lifting up and not tearing down.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, but radio is something special. And I do miss radio in that sense. It's something pretty special, even different than TV, because I was doing produced pieces. So it wasn't live. There's something really awesome about live, where you're just in it and you're going. And
I said it. Oops.
Yeah.
Oopsie.
Oh, there we go.
Lex, you've never done that.
I've touched the line and maybe gone over. Oopsies.
Holly, she's never done that.
Never.
In a million years.
But in that light, there's also another thing that I think about all the time, and I'll talk to you. I don't know if you hear me, but you said to us, yeah, you're going to be taking a nap and it will feel like a whole second day.
Oh, yeah.
So sometimes I'll wake up from my nap and I'll be like, it's time to start my second day, Marjorie. Yes. Here we go.
I mean, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but like my 10 years on the air was like 20. So,
right.
Lex, that's
so
right.
True.
Yeah, it
we
is.
We talk about that often, don't we,
we
Chase?
We do. Lex, I talk to Marjorie too. I go, Marjorie, Tuesday part two is starting.
Here we go. Yeah. Let's get this going. Yeah. Time to get up.
Part two of this tribute will continue right after this. And we're going to have clips. Ian, I know you're listening. We have clips, my friend.
Sure do.
We'll be right.
Oh, you'll just want to sit and admire your bathroom when you get it redone by Rebath Minneapolis. Yeah, if you're looking at your bathroom now and going, oh, this is funky funk, I need some help, look no further than Rebath. Rebath.com. It's effortless bathroom remodeling from start to stunning. And they do it in very easy steps. They remove, replace, remodel. So they'll have a designer come out to you. You sign up at Rebath.com. They'll bring the hundreds of options available to you. They'll look at your budget. They'll look at your style and come up with a beautiful design. Now, that part's free. They just want to show you, look what we can do. And, of course, make sure you mention me or my talk for $1,500 off a complete bathroom remodel. Then if you're going with them, a team of two comes in. They get the job done in 5 days or less, and they have fantastic warranties as well. So, Rebath.com, sign up to have the designer come to you, or you can stop into their showroom. It's in Apple Valley on Galaxy Avenue. There you'll see the choices that Angel and I made for our bathroom some 3 years ago. Rebath.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Dell.com.
Remembering the late Ian Punnett with a classic Ian and Marjorie moment.
If athletes have athlete's foot, then what do astronauts have?
You say the word then, because I'm not going to say it. Because
I don't know what you're talking about! We don't have any idea what the dirty...
Take the first word of astronaut and put it with foot, and that's the kind of feet they'd have.
If athletes have athlete's foot, then astronauts have ass foot. Of course they do! Okay.
I like it!
That's where you go with
it? It made me laugh.
Okay, Jason Matheson is here. Jason?
I totally don't get that.
That's okay.
Doesn't that make sense? They have ass foot.
Remembering Ian Punnett all day today on My Talk 107.1.
Welcome back. It is a special day. It is a special edition of Jason and Alexis in the morning. We're remembering our good friend, Ian Punnett. Marjorie is here. Marjorie and Ian built the show you're listening to, the time slot you're listening to, brick by brick by brick by brick by brick yeah. by brick. And Alexis and I were just the squatters that moved in. in 2013, we just kind of moved in and took over their lease. That's right. Marjorie sublet the show to us.
That's so, right. Yeah, I'm here to take it back, Jay.
Thank you. Lex and Holly, we're good. Marjorie, you know, we'll get the mortgage paperwork. We'll call David. We'll get it all worked out.
I'll be starting at 8:30 and doing the show till 9. That will be
perfect.
The new 8:30 to 9 is the new morning show with Marjorie Punnett.
Perfect. Holly, can you put in the order for the opens for that?
Also tell us how to negotiate those hours, please.
Yes.
And I'd like the open to be 6 minutes on a close 6 minutes. So I'm actually on the air for about 10. So there you go.
Wow, are you Kirk Cousins' agent? Let me tell you.
Yeah, right. Yes.
We've been joking about Ian's, not joking, but also admiring his mastery of audio, his love of, as we call them, clips. We were joking before you joined us, and we can't wait to laugh with Paul Black about this, how Ian would give producer Paul, a list this as long as the Bible of clips every day that Ian needed for the show, even though Ian would usually use maybe two or three of them. Anyway, so Ian loved clips, and Rocco... this is just so great. He went through every hard drive in this building looking for classic clips to do right by Ian today. So we wanted to make sure we got in a few of those. Mm-hmm. So I thought this would be fun, Marjorie. We're going to spin a little wheel. I'm going to give you some descriptions of some of these clips, and you pick one that you want to hear.
Oh, fun. Okay. I like this game.
So we'll spin the wheel here. Now, here are some of them, okay?
Okay.
And Rocco gave some cute names for them. The first one is called Bun. Marjorie talks about her future hairstyles.
Okay.
ED is the next one. Some insights into the bedroom, ?
Oh, goodness. Okay.
Uh-huh. Next, meetings. Marjorie thinks Ian has too many meetings.
Huh.
Okay. Yeah. Bossy chick. Not a lot of men are attracted to, quote, bossy chicks. Now, from those, that first section, what would you like to hear, Marjorie?
Oh, I got to go bossy chick.
Bossy chick. So here is a classic clip from Ian and Marjorie, bossy chicks. Take a listen.
You know what? If I were the bodyguard's wife, I'd even be good with my husband sleeping in Kate Gosselin's basement.
Really? Because why?
There aren't a lot of men that are attracted to bossy chicks on that level.
Really? What about me?
I knew I was setting myself up for a joke. And I went ahead anyway, boldly, bravely, thinking maybe this once he'll miss the opportunity.
To talk about how much I love my bossy chick?
I'm not bossy.
Listen to you, Mark. I'm not bossy.
Yeah. Boy, I always just walked right into that. I don't even try. Like, listen to that. I don't even say, I'm not bossy. I don't even change it. I'm not bossy.
No. You walked right into that glass door.
Yep.
Oh, goodness gravy. Oh, that's good. That's good. Okay. Another one. Again, we have left in this section, Bun, ED, meetings, and I'll add a new one.
Okay.
Phone jammer. Phone callers wanting to agree with Ian having technical difficulties.
Oh, let's go there. Let's go there.
Here we go.
Hey, Jill, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that, Jill? Jill? You gone? Okay. Let me try again. Jill, where are you with this? Do you hear him trying to be something that he's not, but not insincere? Oh, you're breaking up again. You're scaring.
Isn't it great that I have that jammer that screws up anybody that agrees with you?
And I went into Radio Shack and I said, can I have one? And they said, that was our last one.
My plan is working beautifully.
And I said, tell me about the woman who bought the last phone jammer. And I said, well, it's this red-haired jumpy chick. I'm like, yeah, damn it. I knew it.
She's always smarter than me. She's always there first.
They said she had a very phony accent. That must be you.
Right.
It was exactly what
she said.
She's
a big phony, like Jake.
Man, some old school references.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd forgotten you used to call me the jumpy chick.
Yeah. Right.
Pretty much my whole life, I've been. Well, when you have 8 cups of coffee in the morning, makes you a little jumpy. And yeah. I'm jumpy by nature. I'm jumpy. I'm like a water bug. I mean, you just
really?
Can't. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He called you jumpy chick? I don't remember that.
Yeah, just in our private life.
And
it just came out over the air. But no, I just never could sit still. Still can't. I mean, I just move a million miles a minute. But
yeah,
it's so good to hear his voice. I cannot tell you. I have so much gratitude for all the work that everybody's put into this. And it's he was a funny man.
He was.
Yeah.
So, but let's not go there. Should we go bun?
So genuine and
you
kind.
Go,
bun? Yeah. We're going to bun it up? Okay, no, let's do it.
This is Marjorie, again, spinning the wheel of clips. This is Marjorie talking about possible future hairstyles. Here we go.
How many hairstyles do you think you've had in your lifetime so far?
7.
Mm-hmm. How many do you think you'll have before it's done?
1.
Okay.
I'm going to bun next.
You're going to bun. Oh, goody. I've been waiting for bun.
I know.
I'm so excited.
Lots of bobby pins.
Oh, it's a man's bunderland. That's what that is.
I know you're excited.
I can't wait.
Yeah, for my birthday.
Get my hands on the bun.
Did you transition to the bun yet?
No.
Your hair is so beautifully
not yet.
Soft
no.
And, yeah.
Not yet. Thank goodness. Okay. I kept the hair down. Kept myself sexy for my husband.
Let me tell you, if you were still on the shift, you would have adjusted to bun.
Exactly.
Right now. Yeah, you would have,
you're exactly right.
All three. Holly's nodding. All three of us are two steps from
buns.
Yeah.
From buns.
Yeah, because can you believe, Marjorie? It is. Let me look at the calendar. 11 years since you guys left the morning show. 11 years.
It honestly feels like yesterday. Like just seeing you guys.
Yeah.
It just feels like I was here yesterday and just being in the studio. It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Like a record, a needle, just you lift the needle up and you
exactly
put it back
right.
down and the same song is still
exactly
playing.
Right. Exactly right. It's really wonderful.
More clips, more memories, more laughing. It is our very special tribute to our buddy Ian Punnett. It'll continue.
Hey everyone, it's Alexis. Last year I enrolled in My Genetics by Health Partners to get a better understanding of my genetic health risks. This community health research study with no-cost genetic testing can help detect, prevent, and treat risks before they arise. But I also got to learn more about my ancestry breakdown and lots of interesting genetic traits, like if I'm prone to snoring, my caffeine metabolism, and even my earwax type. To learn more, visit healthpartners.com/yourgenes.
Remembering the life well lived and the show we loved. Here's another classic Ian Punnett highlight from Ian and Marjorie.
We're talking with Owen Wilson.
How are you guys doing?
Along with all your great credits, you haven't directed yet, have you?
No, I haven't directed.
Is that on a list of things to do, or?
Yeah, I think I would like to try that at some point. It's a lot of work.
You could start off easy by doing, say, Rushmore 2 or Behind Enemy Lines 2.
No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure.
Behind the Enemy Lines 2. And don't you love it that Ian's here to nag you? Are you writing? Are you directing? What else can you do?
Like your
You're
stuff.
A new father. You're not busy at all.
Yeah, really.
I know. He's giving me a complex here.
Remembering Ian Punnett all day today on My Talk 107.1.
And it begins with the show that they created. Welcome back, Jason and Alexis, in the morning right here on My Talk on this Wednesday, March 13th. We have a great story from Marjorie coming up in just a second, but
you've got mail.
We are, of course, hearing from you. And I got Marjorie, I wanted to share this email with you. And then I can't wait to hear the story that you want to share with everyone. This is from a woman named Beth. And Beth has been listening. Well, she listened to you two. And she's been with Alexis and me since the beginning. And she wrote me on my personal accounts. I always listen to her. She's a sweetheart. The title of the email is Sweet Ian. She goes, good morning, love. As I tuned in this morning, that opening brought me back to 2005 and my carpool to school. Ian and Marjorie did a bit called Happy Boy, and we would always be in the van when it aired. Jordan would have been in third grade, Jordan, her son. And I learned at the first parent-teacher conference that Jordan would arrive at school, gather anyone who he could gather, and tell them the Happy Boy story or joke. He felt strongly at age 10 that the day should start with a laugh or something uplifting, and that came from Ian. He is 27 now and is the absolute life of the party. I don't think all of you at My Talk know what the shows bring to us listeners, but this sweet story brings a tear in, to my eye, and I needed Marjorie to hear it. So...
Oh, that's wonderful.
Isn't that great?
That's wonderful. I have to say, so Ian's funeral was on March 3rd, and my boys, it was a traditional Episcopal funeral service. So the boys each, the rector told me, you can have one person before the funeral starts, and they can speak for 5 minutes. And I said, how about two at 2.5 minutes? And she said...
Look at you, producing, producing every moment. Oh, I love it.
And she said, fine. And so my son Campbell, they both did beautifully. I mean, that's a difficult position to be in. But my son Campbell focused on Happy Boy in the 2.5 minutes. And he focused on Ian's originality. Ian was original. He would stay up often till 1 or 2 in the morning. I was long asleep writing jokes. He would write his own jokes. He loved to write jokes. And so in the 2.5 minutes that my son Campbell had to talk about his father, he said, so Dad, in honor of you, I'm going to write. And he talked about Happy Boy. I'm going to write an original joke. And it was just so sweet that even he remembered that Happy Boy originated because Ian couldn't say goodbye to the boys in the morning. He was here in the studio. And that was his way of saying goodbye to his own sons and sending them off to school with a smile. So I love that Beth's son had the same reaction. So that's wonderful. Thank you, Beth. That's very sweet.
And I'm sure Jordan, I'm sure there's a whole, he's not alone. I'm Mm-mm. sure there's every kid that listened to you guys back then who's now an adult was affected by in one way or the other.
It was a great bit. It was a great bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you said the best bit he's ever done was on April Fool's Day.
Oh, he would get me. I mean, I'd like to think I have a bit of a brain. I don't think I'm the smartest person in the room, but I also don't think I'm, you know. But he would get me every April Fool's. And
really?
Yes.
I remember.
And the best was, I think, probably around 2010, 2011, maybe. I can't remember the year exactly. When 50 Shades of Grey came out. Okay, oh, no, I just have to set up. Okay, we are a talk station for women. Yeah. A lot of women work at this radio station. The women at this radio station went insane when that book came out.
We had a whole podcast about it.
Podcast.
We were all reading it, yep. Mm-hmm.
The cafeteria conversations, people were talking about their sex lives. I'm like, what is happening here? So E.L. James was the author of 50 Shades of Grey, and Ian and I were a little bit competitive about booking, and we had producer Emma then. And so we're all like, Ian had some contacts at Random House. I think it was through Random House. I thought I had some contacts somewhere. So the race was on, like, who's going to book E.L. James? And so Ian, this started in January, like, I'm going to get E.L. James. I'm like, no, I'm going to get E.L. James. So we're competing with one another to try and book her. Sometime, maybe February, maybe in March, he's like, I got her. She's booked. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this is awesome. This is going to be great. So April 1st comes around and he's been promoting it for a week that we've got E.L. James on. And I'm kind of jealous because he booked it, but okay, it's going to be good for the show. So that morning...
Oh, no.
It's like 8.
Oh, no.
You know, it's top of the hour, 8 o'clock. We've got E.L. James. Great. She comes on. We're talking about the book. If people don't remember, 50 Shades of Grey was...
Oh, God.
How would you guys describe the book?
Cinemax in book form.
There you go. Thank you.
Perfect. Cinemax hard after and fast. Midnight.
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect description. So... Yeah. British, she was British, so she's on, and you know, Emma, our producer, put her through, and we're having this interview about the sensation of 50 Shades of Grey. Interview's going on about 6 minutes. Then E.L. James says to me, so do you like to be paddled?
That did not, no.
And
no.
I'm like, and she starts asking me the most personal questions about our sex life and what goes on in the bedroom. Until I'm just, I can't even talk anymore. And then Ian just says, April Fools.
No!
He had been planting the seed that he had E.L. James since January. He hired a British actress or an American actress with a decent British accent to pretend she was E.L. James.
Oh.
Totally got me. And our producer didn't know either. Our
Emma producer didn't
know? Emma didn't know. So mad. He kept it to himself. He was so good at that. He kept it to himself. It was a great bit and a great April Fool's. 100%.
I think great is an understatement. That is perfect. That's radio perfection.
It was good.
Were just speechless. Like, you just didn't even know. Like, moving on.
No, I don't like to be paddled. I don't like to be paddled. I don't like to be paddled. Like, I'm not doing this.
Did you know when she said the paddling, the first question, did you think she was serious? Like, you didn't catch on right away, right?
Oh, no. No, because if you read the book, you would think she's going to go here. She's going to go here. It was crazy.
She's a little nutter butter. So
yeah. What about handcuffs? Yes.
Well, I wouldn't know because I never talked to her.
Yeah, true.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
It was good. It was good.
He was so good at getting people. I will never forget when you guys were broadcasting from the Metrodome.
Yep.
It was when the movie Up came out.
Oh, Alexis.
And they did this whole promotion. Do you remember this, Jace? There was
I have pictures of it.
Okay, we need to share those because there was this. So it was really actually brilliant on the part of the PR crew and Up. Because
it was a great promotion.
Great, because there were balloons. You sat in this little armchair. It went up to the top of the Metrodome and then went back down. So you kind of got the feeling of what the house would feel like. And, wow, this is great. And no one would go up and do it. Except this moron right here. Yeah. This guy right here.
Put me in the chair. Put me in the chair.
I'll go
Lex,
up there.
Lex, look in the camera.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
I have a picture of you in there.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, it was high. We were going to the top of the Metrodome. So I was like, okay, yeah, I'll do it. And so, Ian's like, perfect. Here's a wireless mic. We're going to talk as we go up. And at some point, I couldn't hear you guys.
So we're live on the air.
Oh,
we're live on the air. Okay.
Live on the air. I'm floating up and I'm just like, wow, look at this. And at the top of the Metrodome, I just remember these huge baseball cards like that were like on the wall. And I was like, look, there's Kirby Puckett. And, and then all of a sudden I hit the top. And I'm there for a little bit, and I could barely hear what's going on because the headsets weren't wireless. And I'm looking down, and all of a sudden, all of the lights in the Metrodome go off. Everyone below me, including the woman that is holding the rope of the balloons. Paul Black, too. Get up.
Me?
Jace, you were there, too.
Yep.
Up.
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Jace, too. You guys get up and start walking out the door. And I'm at the top going, hello. Do you forget somebody? And for like a good, it felt like 50 minutes, but it was like 2 minutes of being up there. That was.
That is unbelievable.
And I'm just, and so I'm just kind of like, just airing out all of my anxiety.
sitting in the dark.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I just realized, like, okay, well, do I have to, like, go down this tiny little rope?
Is Ian still talking to you at this point? Or are we just ignoring you in the dark?
Oh, we're ignoring her.
Completely ignoring me.
We're laughing.
I'm screaming.
Alexa's screaming, and Ian is laughing. So Ian's on the show, and you could hear... If Ian's talking, this is what you can hear in the background, which got us laughing even more. You can hear the faint. You can hear Lex going like,
"Hello, help! Help!
Are you gonna leave me up here?"
And Ian is laughing so hard because she's up there, and Ian, just like Alexis said, Ian had convinced everybody, and even. and Marjorie, you know this, publicists and PR people are persnickety and they want everything to be perfect. They just want their message delivered. Right. They don't want shenanigans from local morons. And Ian convinced the Disney folks to go along with us. And even, like Lex said, the rope holder, who wasn't real sure that this was a good idea. And Ian's like, oh, she's fine. And I remember.
I hit that ground.
The woman looked at Ian and looked at me because I was with Alexis. And the woman goes, is she afraid of heights? I go, oh, no, she loves heights. She's good. Oh, she loves heights.
This is her favorite thing in the world. Her absolute favorite thing in the world.
Loves this.
I just love being up there. And I kept thinking, too, like, what if I just popped one balloon at a time? I would just descend slowly. And then when it's like 10 feet, I can jump.
What is wrong with you? Pop one balloon at a time?
Marjorie, I was getting desperate at that point, okay?
Because we left her there for a long time.
Yes. And then finally when I got down, I was so happy to hit the ground. I was like, screw all of you.
Oh my God. But I mean, that honestly,
but that's Ian
loved that was, live. He loved live radio. And he loved bits like that where he could catch everybody off guard. Yep. And that and
chaos. Yeah. A little chaos.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right.
More clips, more memories, and more. And don't forget, programming note, our good friends Paul Black and Colleen Lindstrom will be joining us in the second hour of this tribute. So stay right there. Call in sick to work. Just tell your boss you have things to do. Stay in your car.
Remembering the life well lived and the show we loved. Here's another classic Ian Punnett highlight from Ian and Marjorie.
30% of the people listening said they can't believe Marjorie missed Hanson.
People had a meeting. I'm sorry.
But did you have a note? Lessa, they were on Dancing with the Stars last night. They rocked. They were great. Did you get Hanson's permission?
To miss them?
To miss them last night?
No.
Do you want it? Hanson's here. Good morning, Hanson. How's it going?
Morning. Good morning. I like your poll. That's quite interesting.
Okay, I'm completely freaked out.
See, Marjorie did not know you guys were coming up, so...
Okay, is this really Hanson?
This is really Hanson.
It's really Taylor, Zach, and
Isaac.
Okay,
I was not prepared for this. I am not at my best for you. This really bugs me.
Her hair is a mess.
I didn't brush my teeth this morning.
You know what? Just it's the theater of the mind. You didn't have to, you know, just we're just going to picture you as you would like for you to be pictured in our
naked.
Mind.
Naked is fine.
Naked.
Go naked.
Remembering Ian Punnett all day today on My Talk 107.1.
Welcome back. Jason and Alexis in the morning. A special edition of our show. As you know, we're paying tribute to our good friend Ian Punnett. Not just on our show, but all day long, you're going to be hearing those clips. Again, can't say it enough. Thanks to Rocco. Everybody on the staff really wanted to do right by Ian. It meant a great deal to us. And Rocco took the ball and ran with it with a home run. And pulling those clips and going through archive after archive to find just the right clips. And you're going to be hearing them all day. So, again, thanks to Rocco for doing this well, for not just doing it well, doing it perfect for Ian.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because Ian deserves that. I have another email, and then I want to share a story here. This is
You've got mail.
Because it was, you know, we also want to include all of you listening. You know, you were a part of Ian and Marjorie's family by extension. Shauna writes to us, hi, Jason, Alexis. I remember listening to Ian and Marjorie in my 20s, and my son was little, and loved listening to them on the way to school. Then when you and Alexis came in, he continued to listen. He's now 19 and listens to this day. And we consider it a wonderful vehicle for mother and son bonding on the way to school.
Oh, I love that.
So thanks to Ian and Marjorie and to the morning show in general. So, Shauna, thank you. Again, that's why we do it. Right, Lex? Right, Marjorie? Right? I mean, that's why we do it. That's why we get up at the butt crack of dawn.
Yeah, that's true.
I know Lex feels, and Ian passed away. I was gone, and I realized, Colin reminded me, I haven't had the opportunity to say anything about Ian because I was gone for my holiday break when Ian passed. And And Lex, I don't know if you shared this story, but Lex and I feel very much the same way in different versions about Ian and what he personally did for us. And I shared this in my Facebook post, but I can get through this.
It's all love here, buddy.
Yep. The morning show, Lex and I moving to the morning show. It's not an overstatement to say it wouldn't have happened without Ian. And I'm not talking Ian and Marjorie leaving the show. I'm not talking about Ian, unfortunately, having to leave the show because of health, because of his ear. But I'm talking about a level of generosity that you don't often find in just normal life. And you certainly don't find in the competitive world of our business. Mm-hmm. And I haven't said this. I maybe said it once or twice. But Lex and I were brought in way before the public. We knew, I think even before B. Arthur, I think before official conversations were had, Ian at the state fair pulled Alexis and I separately, or I think together, to tell us that there was a strong likelihood that that the Ian and Marjorie show was going to be wrapping up. And he had known that I was at the end of a contract with TV, with Fox. And he had gotten wind of that. And he pulled me into our nasty little Kmart tent at the fair. That's
nasty. That's what it was, yeah.
That's what it was. It was the best, nothing but the best. But he pulled us into our un-air-conditioned, mosquito-infested tent at the fair. And he said, hey, come here. And I thought I had done something, you know, I thought, oh God, did I say something? He's going to give me some advice or, you know, what did I say? And, you know, what did I do? Is he going to warn me about Lori and Julie or what is going to happen? So, yeah. Is he going to tell me? So I walk in there and he said, I'm just going to let you in on something. We are leaving. And I think you and Alexis should take this job. I think you and Alexis should take the morning show. And he campaigned for us. And he let me know at the perfect time, because I needed to make a decision. And he knew that. He knew the business.
Yeah, he did.
And without that advanced knowledge, the dominoes would not have lined up.
It's a tricky business.
It's a very tricky business. And I'm leaving out, you know, the inside baseball crap that you don't care about. But my point being is, and I wrote this in the Facebook post, the trajectory of my professional life and Alexis's professional life would have been very different without Ian.
And mine too. I never thought I had been a producer before this.
Yeah.
And Ian was very good at pulling people in. And he loved radio so much that for you and for Alexis, he knew that you did too.
Yeah.
And so you respected it. You respected the profession that it is. It's a profession. And he took it very seriously. And so I think part of him pulling you aside was an acknowledgement that, hey, I want you always to be in this club with me because you get it. You get what a privilege this is. You don't take it for granted. And so, you know, that in the sadness, he left the show because of tinnitus. He just had terrible buzzing in his ears. And amongst he also had and we didn't talk a lot about it at the time, but he had I can't even pronounce it, but he was just had this chronic headache. And so the combination of those two things was very hard to spend 4 hours a day with headphones on. God, yeah. And but what brought him such great joy was mentoring. He loved that. He loved seeing people who appreciated the gifts that they were given and how to make those gifts blossom and get bigger. And so I think that brought him great joy that the show that we had worked so hard to build could be passed on to somebody who equally appreciated the opportunity, which both you and Alexis did. I mean, that was clear how much you guys loved media, loved being in the media, and saw the joy of it. I mean, that's always the hardest thing in this business is you see so many people in the business who sort of take it for granted or they think that they deserve it as opposed to the other way around, which it's a privilege to be employed in it. And I think Ian sensed that in the both of you. And obviously, you're both very talented, too. So that brought him great joy to be able to
I wouldn't go that far, Marjorie, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, yeah.
All right, Lex.
And he did the same for me. I mean, he brought me into radio. I never thought I would be on the air. That was never. And when that happened, imagine it's your show. It was Ian's show.
Yeah.
And then I came on as sort of a background voice, and then I kept getting pushed forward, and then they renamed the show and put my name in it as well. I was his wife, but that's huge generosity as well to say, okay, I'll share the space with you. Mm-hmm. I'll share my space with you. And he was incredibly generous that way. And he was that way with the students. I loved watching him mentor the students. I mean, extraordinary things. He did extraordinary things at K-State with those students.
Well, he had just such a way of honing in. You felt like you're in a crowded room, but you felt like the most important because he just had a way of just like listening in a way that many people don't have, you know, and to be able just to hone in and go, okay, well, here's how I see this. And just a whole different way of thinking about it, where you're like heated and just like, oh, I want to burn something down. And then,
what just happened?
I'm going extreme, but I'm just saying.
Go with it, Marjorie. We just go with it. Just go with it.
Yeah, okay. We just go from zero to arson really quickly on the show.
Marjorie, it's one of her aspects now. She just,
Yeah, and I'm Matrix. Woo, I can backbend like crazy now, Marjorie, you should see. But to just hone in on that and just kind of say, well, how about we see it from this angle instead? That is such a gift.
Right.
And he was very giving and generous with that.
Absolutely. Lex, I swear.
You know what I'm saying? I'm picking the most extra loud.
I just never thought the E&P Punnett tribute would include arson, but here we go.
I didn't either.
Yeah. Colleen and Paul Black joins the conversation.
Oh, thank goodness.